Second Chronicles chapter 7. Very familiar passage of scripture. Second Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14. If. Interesting word, isn't it? If. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this night you've given us. We thank you for the opportunity to be in this church. Father, we thank you for the faithful support, Father, this church through finances and their prayers, Father, for us missionaries. And Father, we just look around down the hallways tonight and Father, see all the missionaries that this church is responsible for. And Father, we thank you so much for the generosity of your people. And Father, we just do pray that you greatly bless this church and continue, Father, to bless it in a great way. And Father, we just do pray tonight, if there's any here lost without Jesus, we do pray tonight be their day of salvation before it's eternally too late. Father, we do pray for your people, God's people. And Father, I do pray you work in our heart and our lives. And Father, help us to be better Christians, better servants for you. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. 200 years ago, 150 years ago, Scotland was the land that sent the gospel out all over the world. Great men like this, Robert Moffat, David Livingston, Mary Slessor, John Anderson to India, John Patton to the New Hebrides, Eric Liddell, Olympic champion and champion of the faith. Great men like this took the gospel out all over the world. It is told in history books that the sun never set on the British Empire. And those people took the gospel with them wherever they went. The city that God called us to was Paisley. It's a suburb of Glasgow today. Back during this time, the 1800s, it was the largest city in Scotland. It was believed to be the eighth wealthiest city in the world. Some of you ladies that would be familiar with sewing would know the Coke's name or the Clark name. That all began in Paisley, Scotland. And eighth richest city in the world. Weaving industry, including shawls. There were thread mills, textile mills, four shipyards, food manufacturing. And there's a great spiritual history in Paisley. The town was filled with churches. There are more church buildings in Paisley than any other city in Scotland. The Paisley motto was, Lord, let Paisley flourish by the preaching of thy word. You had massive buildings. This is the Coates Memorial. It is the largest Baptist cathedral in all of Europe. This building is massive. This picture does not do it justice. But this is one of the big churches that was in Paisley then. Over 1,000 people attended this church. The platform at that time was all marble. Can you imagine that? Everything was marble. The whole platform was marble. The choir loft was marble. Everything marble. Baptistry was marble. Just a stunning building. But you had many churches just like this. None of them were little. A lot of them ran 400, 500, 600, 700 people. And today, there's very little to remind you of any of this spiritual history. You might find a congregation in one of these churches, but it's most likely you would never hear the gospel. Beautiful churches, stunning churches to go inside. This church here was right behind our house. Ronald Reagan's maternal grandparents, President Reagan, maternal grandparents are buried in this cemetery. Again, this is in Paisley. But what they are doing with a lot of these old church buildings is they're turning them into apartments or flats. And as I believe it was either the next to last day or the last day I was in Scotland, I took a picture of this little plaque that they had there, this little notice. And it said the following, come live where God used to live. Man. Come live where God used to live. People ask me all the time what happened to Scotland. How could a country that sent the gospel out all over the world end up like it is today? What happened? The same thing is happening here. Same thing is happening here. People forgot all about God. All about God. It breaks your heart to know in to go into some of these churches, just stunning buildings. And know at one time they used to run 400 or 500 people, Coast Memorial, over 1,000. And to see them totally empty today. I can't even explain to you how devastating that is. The same thing is happening here. The reason why my wife and I had to come home from Scotland, we had 17 of our churches closed down. Our supporting churches closed down here in the United States. Here in Ohio, Michigan, Indiana, West Virginia, and Pennsylvania. That's where we had majority of our support. So 1/3 of our churches that supported us 25 years ago no longer have services. They're completely shut down. Now, can I say something to you tonight? You have a beautiful building here. You have children running everywhere. Many times you put your money in the offering plate and you support all these missionaries. And you think everything is fine out there. And everything's just like you here in this church. But nothing's further from the truth. If I can be so bold and if I can be so honest, we're dying out, whether you want to hear it or not. I'm in churches all the time when I started 25 years ago that ran 250, 350 people. And now they're under 100 people, 100 people, and many of them are just doing their best to survive. They've had to slash the mission budgets, and they're just trying to pay the light bill. But you have a lot of churches that are in that type of condition. Not as fortunate as you guys. Not as blessed as you guys. Do not take this for granted. Do not take it for granted. We are a very fortunate, very blessed congregation here. Do not take this for granted. It breaks my heart to see what I see here. I was so excited to go visit a church. They ran probably 700 people or better. And my wife and I, we got a meeting and we went down there. So it was on the other side of Dayton somewhere. And I went back and it was about 9:45. Nobody was there. 9:45. Nobody was there. Church started at 10, Sunday school. It was 9:45. Church ran 700 people. Last time I was there, and nobody is there at 9:45. 10:00. Nobody is there. 5:00. There is nobody there. At about 10 o'clock, somebody walks up, opens up the door. We go in. That day, I ended up preaching to 2 rows. A church that ran 700 people at one time. And may I say to you, I see that all the time. I see that almost every week. And if you could go with me and I could explain to you, this is what this church was doing 25 years ago. And you go with me and go into that church and see the condition of it today, you would never believe it. I have come back to an America that I am not familiar with. I have come back to churches that I can't believe what happened. I just can't believe it. What looked like strong, solid churches no longer there today. We're barely surviving. We've gotten a long way from our God. A long way. A long way. The spiritual level of this country, that's another thing I'm having a hard time with. The following survey was taken back in May 2017 by the America Culture and Faith Institute. Listen to this. This is churches just like you. Listen to this. This is how ignorant we've become of God's Word. 24% believe the Bible contains errors. 33% do not believe in the Genesis account of creation. 42% do not believe Satan exists. 48% do not believe Jesus Christ was sinless. 54% do not read their Bibles. 57% do not believe in the Holy Spirit. After answering a question, they had to answer, how does one get to heaven? You had to answer that correct to take this survey. After answering the question correct, 63% later said they believe you can earn your way into heaven. And 66% do not believe they have a responsibility to share their faith. Well, wow, huh? Are these not kindergarten principles? Do I hear an amen? Yeah. These are kindergarten principles. These are things that every believer should know about. These are things that every believer needs to be instructed in. Should know these things inside and out. Not just an old Christian, young Christians. Amen? But look how ignorant we have become. In the book of Hosea, he says, my people are destroyed for their lack of knowledge. Destroyed. Destroyed. Forgot about God. Second Chronicles 7:14 starts out with a little word, if. They may or they may not do the following. If. If those lousy politicians in Washington, D.C., does your Bible say that? Boy, I just wish they'd get their heart right down there, right? Well, they need to do that anyway, but that liberal left, they just get their hearts right. Nah, he says, if who? My people. Us. You and me. If my people, which are called by my name, shall do the following. Humble themselves. Pray. Seek my face. Interestingly enough, the survey also said, less than 1% of God's people are in His Word on a daily basis. Less than 1%. And we wonder why, churches are shutting down. Seek my face. Turn from their wicked ways. Many times we view our sin as, not too bad. I'm not doing what they're doing over there. I'm not committing the sin over there that they're committing. You see, God has a different definition for our sin. He calls it what here? Wicked ways. Wicked ways. We need to stand up and take this to heart. That my ways are wicked before Him. And this is why the Apostle Paul said, I am the chief of sinners. But I want to tell you something. When we are not in God's Word, I mean, the Holy Spirit can't convict us. You know what I'm saying? Because when we're in His Word and we're studying it properly, the Holy Spirit of God convicts us of who we are and what we are. And we ask Him for forgiveness and we become more like Jesus Christ, because that's God's objective for us after salvation. He wants to see us conform to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. But I'm here to tell you, this lost world is not impressed with us. They are not impressed with our churches. They are not knocking our doors down to come into our churches. What do you guys have that I don't have? What do you guys have? We look too much alike, don't we? There's not that difference anymore. But I like this. He says, then will I hear from heaven, and I will and will forgive their sin. And he says here, and will heal their land. Do we not need our land healed? Yes. But it comes back to if. If. Many times we do not read the rest of this passage, but I want to do it tonight. We're pretty familiar with verse 14, but let's go down to verse 19. He says the following, but if you turn away, if you don't listen to me, if you don't pay attention, if you don't do everything that I've asked you to do, if you turn away and forsake my statutes and commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them. If you do that, then I will pluck them up by the roots out of my land, which I have given them. And this house, which I have sanctified for my name, will I cast out of my sight. And I'll make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. And this house, which is high, shall be an astonishment to everyone that passes by it, so that he shall say, why hath the Lord done this unto this land and unto this house? All the time I say, what happened here? Every week I say, what happened here? What happened to this church? What happened to this church that was full 25 years ago? People was coming forward. What happened to this church? What happened? And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods and worshiped them and served them. Therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them. Well, it doesn't take a brain surgeon, does it? I think that's pretty blunt, pretty honest. You see, God did not owe the children of Israel anything here, did he? No. And he didn't owe Scotland anything. And he doesn't owe us anything here in the United States of America. The truth of the matter is, we need to wake up. We need to get back to our God once again and be the people that he expects us to be. We've gotten away from our God. We've forgotten about our God. We are not the people that we used to be. We're not in His Word. We're not studying it. What happened here? What happened? Abraham Lincoln said, we have been the recipients of choice of bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten His gracious hand, which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And have vainly imagined, I love this phrase, and vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Abraham Lincoln, April 30th, 1863. More than half a century ago, while I was still a child, I recall hearing a number of older people offering the following explanation for the great disasters that had befallen Russia. Men have forgotten God, that's why all this has happened. But if I were asked today to formulate as concisely as possible the main cause of the ruinous revolution that swallowed up some 60 million of our people, I could not put it more accurately than to repeat, men have forgotten God. That's why all this has happened. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, his Templeton Address, 1983. My friend, he does not owe us a thing. He does not owe us a thing. We're taking advantage of the mercy of God and His graciousness to us. And we've wandered a long way from where we should be. We've gotten away from what we should be as Christians and as churches. And we've allowed things to creep in our churches that should not be there. And we're slowly dying away. Slowly dying away. It breaks my heart to what I've come back to. Because I've already watched this once. And if I can say something to you, the things I dealt with in Scotland for 20 years, you do not want to deal with them. You do not want to deal with them. What is coming your way, and it's coming quicker than what you think, you do not want to deal with these things. The things that I had to face, the things that my family had to face, the things that we faced every single day in our ministry there in Scotland. You do not want that. But it's coming, and I'm telling you, it's here. It's here. It's time we get our hearts right. It's time we get back to our God. It's time we be the Christians that we need to be. We need to stop playing church, stop playing games, and be the Christians that we need to be. If. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this night You've given us. We thank You for this opportunity to be here. God, I just do pray, Father, that You work in our hearts and our lives tonight. Father, help us to be the Christians we need to be. Father, we've gotten away from You. We strayed from You. Father, we're not in Your Word how we need to be. And it's evident. We've become as cold and callous as Scotland. God, I just You pray, work in all of our lives. Help us to be the Christians, God, that we need to be. And Father, again, we do pray if there's any here lost without Jesus, we do pray today will be their day of salvation. Again, before it's eternally too late, we thank You for sending Jesus to die on the cross, paid for our sin debt, shedding the blood. We're so thankful. But all we need to do is ask Him to forgive us of our sin, ask Him to be the Lord and Savior of our life. Simple plan of salvation that even a young child can understand. And Father, we ask if there's any here that need salvation, may it be tonight. And Father, we just do ask if there's any other needs here tonight. And Father, I do pray that You help us to get our hearts where they need to be. Help us to be that Christian. that you have to have for this lost and dying world. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.